Today's Family Man Show is sponsored by Family Man Chris Wagoner and Bayview Appraisals, serving northern Indiana with a variety of residential real estate needs. You can visit them at bayview-appraisals.net. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going good because, you know, it is warm outside. It's supposed to hit 66 degrees.
Dude, we're going to hit 70 today.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
It is wonderful. This is the way we were all meant to live. Global warming, bring it on. Woo-hoo. Bring it on. But, you know, I know it's getting close to our RVing adventures because I think we begin about the first weekend in April as we go to Indiana, Pennsylvania for the Indiana Experiment, which is a men's gathering. It's on a Saturday. It's going to be a great time. But I had my first RV nightmare 2 nights ago. And that's always the precursor to we're getting ready to leave. You know?
What happened? Were there raccoons like secretly hiding in there or something?
No, it's usually those kind of I don't have these about regular cars, but in my RV, I always have this nightmare where I can't stop it. It's going really super slow, but I'm just pushing. Or, you know, the brake's slipping and it's rolling away, or I just can't seem to control it. So those are my RV nightmares, but they've started, and which I've got some work to do. I've got a few little tasks. I got to weld my seat back on, and but it is handy having a son who can do that. Hey, we're going to talk though, Scott, and enough of this chit chat. We're going to talk with someone who works at the Old Time Wood Nickel Company, because we've got this great product. I don't know if you've seen them on our website yet, but we've got these wooden nickels and they are amazing. On the wooden nickels, we have on one side it says you to dad, but that's not the cool part. The other part says 1 hour of dad time. And here's the thinking behind this product is that, you know, I was with my kids and we were just, you know, they were wanting me to do something. And I, you know, you fight that when they're, it's that where they just want to play a game, or they want you to build something, or they want to do this. And I thought what they need is like some kind of token to redeem some time from their dad. And so, you know, it was easier said than done because we designed it. We had it made. And we're going to talk to the people who made it in just a few minutes here.
Tell my kids to go play video games, man.
And we're working on that next. Scott, it's a joy to have you on this show. You know, you put the real in the Family Man Show.
I don't do that. On occasion, I do that.
That's right. Okay, maybe every day I do that. But not during the night or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, so you get these wooden nickels, you give them to your kids. Maybe you don't pass them all out. The set comes with five of them. You give them one of them, and then they can redeem them, bring them to you and say, hey, dad, could you do this with me? And I thought that's a pretty cool idea. So we had them made and I gave one to my two sons, Cal and Jed. And wouldn't you know it, just a few days later, Caleb comes downstairs, puts one on my desk and says, hey, dad, can you make a sword right now? And of course, it was like right in the middle of the day. And I just sat down and I was working and I said, hey, Cal. And immediately I felt myself tense up like, this is a stupid idea. Go play some video games. You know, no. But I didn't feel myself tense up. And then I kind of softened and I thought, OK. And I said, hey, Cal, why don't you hold on to the nickel? And then why don't you give it to me after dinner and we'll make your sword? And we did that. And, you know, afterwards, it was worth $1 million. Not because we came up with a very cool sword, but that, you know, we spent an hour of time, maybe even a little less than an hour of time, making something that he'll maybe sometimes lose, or maybe he'll lose forever. But when he comes across it again, or he sees a picture of it, he'll say, oh yeah, my dad and I made that together. And I'm telling you, that is powerful stuff for a buck a coin. So
these coins are re-redeemable, right?
These are re-redeemable.
You can use them multiple times.
You could, you know, maybe put one in your kid's Easter basket, or you could hide it under their pillow for them to find it. And they go, Dad, what's this? And then you could explain it to them. And then you could hold on to them a while and maybe slip them another one on a special occasion. Or maybe slip another one when you know a kid, maybe you're having trouble connecting with a kid. But it really forces us to spend our time wisely.
That is a great idea. I'm buying a whole bunch for my kids' Easter baskets because
you got it.
They don't need chocolate, man.
They need wooden nickels.
Right on.
So let's talk to someone from the old-time wooden nickel company right now. And so we have Laura Sutton May on the line with us, and she works at the old-time wooden nickel company. So Laura, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, since, you know, the guys might not know what I'm talking about, wooden nickels, you know, we all know that phrase, you know, don't take any wooden nickels. How did the old time wooden nickel company start printing wooden nickels?
Well, it's kind of a funny story because the company actually originated as a fun and magic shop. Mr. Berkey, who founded the company, Louis Berkowitz was his name, and he went by Mr. Berkey. He started the company in 1948, and then in 1950, he saw an ad in a magazine that was advertising 10 wooden nickels for $1.50. So he contacted the company and kind of negotiated with them and ended up buying the wooden nickel business from this ad company. And so that's how we really started doing the wooden nickels. At first, they weren't even customized. They were just stamped out replicas of the old Buffalo nickel.
Right.
And then after a couple of years, he acquired a printing press and started making custom ones. So
now if the dads go to your website, they can even see how you make the wooden nickels. But how, talk us through the process. How does a wooden nickel, how is it born?
It starts out, the order comes in to us, usually through the order form on our website. Once it's approved, we get it back here. We make the printing plates for it. All the design work is done on the computer in CorelDRAW. And then we use a laser engraver to cut our printing plates. So from Corel, the image is sent to the laser, just like you would send something to a printer. The laser cuts out the printing plate from rubber, and then it's sent to the print shop. Our press operator sets the press up with the printing plates that are made from your artwork, and he stamps them out.
So do you pre-order, like, do you get a big boxes of these wooden nickels? Do you make the wooden nickels yourself, or
we don't make them. No, we order the blanks from a wood turning mill up in Maine. We actually have a couple of mills that we work with up in the New England area. And so the wooden nickel blanks, they come to us already cut out and ready to go.
Well, I know you make lots and lots of nickels, but I'm fascinated by two things. Tell us about your world's largest wooden nickel and the museum, the wooden nickel museum. I mean, the next time I'm in San Antonio, I am coming to make sure I see this stuff.
Well, yeah, you have to. The museum actually right now is under construction. We're in the process of expanding it, and it's going to be about twice the size when we're finished. We're adding a snack bar and a gift shop to it. But, you know, we've been making wooden nickels for over 60 years, and we keep a couple of samples of everything that we print. So 60 years of keeping samples, we've acquired quite a collection. In 1998, on the 50th anniversary of the company, we opened the Wooden Nickel Museum so that we could put some of these wooden nickels that we've acquired over the years on display. And we have about 500,000 pieces on display at any given time. And, you know, we rotate the displays out periodically just to, you know, so that we can get everything shown.
So, and I even saw that you have like a wooden vault that you can store wooden nickels in.
Well, yeah, you know, we're the wooden nickel mint, and you can't exactly take wooden nickels to your bank. So the next best thing, we built our own vault.
Well, and then tell me about the world's largest wooden nickel.
The world's largest wooden nickel was built in 2002 It was recognized by Ripley's, believe it or not, as the world's largest wooden nickel. And it's about 14 feet diameter, about 5.5 inches thick, and it weighs about 2,500 pounds.
Wow. Wow. So if we want to come and see you, where do we come?
Well, we're located right in the heart of San Antonio, just about a mile north of downtown.
And they can find you online at www.wooden-nickel.com, wooden-nickel.com.
Yes.
And, you know, and they can order their own nickels, custom nickels, but we've got a bunch of wooden nickels that they're going to want to get from us. They can see more information on your website. And I'll tell you, I'm going to be there in, not this year, but next year, I think we're planning to be in that area of Texas. And I'm making my trek to the old time wooden nickel company. Well, Laura, thanks for...
You have to come by.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. And I did have one more question. So will one of my samples, the Utadad nickel, will that be thrown in the vault as well?
We'll probably put that on display in one of our displays. Eventually, it'll make its way to the vault, but it'll go on display first.
All right.
Okay. Todd, I think you need one of the giant ones.
Well, I'm not going to compete with their giant wooden nickels. I mean, that's, they got their own. But thanks for joining us, Laura. I hope a lot of dads stop out and check out the old-time wooden nickel company.
Thank you for having me.
So, Scott, after hearing this lady talk, doesn't it make you want to buy even more? So two boatloads of nickels?
I want to make my own.
You could make your own. In fact, someone wrote and said, hey, Todd, you ought to have them for us husbands to give to our wives, you know, like a job to be done. So we'll put that in research and development. Hey, before we move on to our next segment, we're going to talking about, you know, going to see the Wooden Nickel Museum. This is the time, as I talk about RVs, this is the time to start thinking about summer and spring travel, maybe fall travel. And we're going to talk to a dad who has a great travel tool for us dads. But before I say that, let me just say today's show is sponsored by family man and friend Chris Wagoner. Chris and his wife Kelly, along with their two children, live and they work and play in the lake regions of northern Indiana. And let me just say, there is no ice on the lakes anymore. I can feel spring coming, and it won't be long before we hear the boats running out on the lakes. And together, they own and operate Bayview Appraisals. Chris has been in the business since 1988 and licensed since 1997. Chris knows real estate and wants to give you the best value for your money, which you gotta like. Bayview Appraisals specializes in residential real estate, single and multifamily housing, mortgage loans, estate taxation and settlement, consulting and valuation for homes in flood hazard area, insurance claims, foreclosed homes, and manufactured housing. That's a lot of stuff. Bayview Appraisals offers online appraisal ordering coupled with automatic report status updates and electronic delivery of the final product. Because of that, they're able to eliminate the runaround and phone tag hassles associated with most home appraisals. So if you live in and around northern Indiana, or thinking about living in and around northern Indiana, and been thinking of selling, buying, refinancing, or just need to know the value of your home, give Chris Wagoner a call. Or you can text him at 574-268-4906. Or you can visit them at bayview-appraisals.net. Well, okay, let's go ahead and talk to a fellow family man. Let's talk to family man Harley McAllister. And Harley, I should have asked, where do you live?
Yeah, right now we're living in Spokane, Washington. That's sort of on the eastern side of Washington, right up against Idaho, pretty close to the Rocky Mountains. So it's not the real wet side over there, closer to the coast.
Sure. So Harley, why don't you begin by just telling us a little bit about your family and yourself?
Sure. Well, let's see. I have a day job. I work as a product manager during the week, and my wife is a homeschooling mom, my wife Abby. We have four boys, and they're from kind of early teen years all the way down to 3 years old, almost 4 years old now. And well, kind of our story is that we were kind of living here in Spokane, Washington, and had been sort of feeling a call to go and serve the Lord, but wasn't really sure what that looked like. And until I got laid off, and we kind of took that as a sort of a kick in the pants from God to get moving on those desires. And so we started looking for some different opportunities and ended up learning about the Doulos Discovery School, which is an expeditionary learning school. Actually, one of the only a handful of expeditionary learning Christian schools in the world. And they're located down in the Dominican Republic. And so we ended up just selling everything and moving our family down there to serve there as teachers. I didn't have a teaching background, but Abby did. And so we spent 4 years teaching there and had a great time. In fact, if anybody's interested in serving overseas, I'd ever thought about that, they have quite a few open positions here in the next year or two. So might look them up. But we spent 4 good years there. And while we were there in our final year, we ended up actually adopting our youngest son, Isaac. So our youngest son is a Dominican. And he needed some heart surgery. And we ended up adopting him. And as we were winding up our time there, we were looking for ways to kind of welcome ourselves back to the U.S. and kind of spend some time together as a family as we finished our time overseas. And that's when we kind of stumbled upon this idea of going and visiting a bunch of our national parks. We had done, you know, we had visited the parks when we lived in the States, and but when the kids were quite a bit younger. And so now that they're a little bit older, we wanted to kind of go back there and kind of do some more adventurous, I guess, visits to the parks. And so we started planning that. And that's where we really learned just how hard it is to plan a family vacation to some of those parks. There's not a lot of information out there about activities or hikes or things to do that are specific to kids. And so we did a ton of research and went to a ton of different research sources, literally, you know, spent hours trying to find stuff out. And then we just did it. You know, we got home to the States, and we took most of September and most of October visiting Yellowstone and some of the parks in Utah, and or all of the parks in Utah, and just had a great time. And we just used those experiences to start writing some guidebooks to help other parents plan great family vacations for their kids if they've ever thought about going and visiting some of these, you know, really just spectacular national parks.
And that's, Harley, why we or that's why we're having you on this show, because now if you've just been like a missionary, I mean, I'm OK with that. I think that's a very cool thing. And we might have had you on the show for that. But I love the idea of dads taking their families to special places. And in fact, that's why this year's You to Dad Daily Calendar is kind of a focus on the national parks, because it's the 100th anniversary of the national parks. And they have a good deal going on right now. If you've got a fourth grader, you can get in free. We've already taken advantage of it. And that's not just national parks like big parks, but also, you know, those national memorials like the Liberty Bell and those other things that are owned by the national, by the government. But Harley, why'd you pick the national parks? Why not theme parks or...
That's a good question.
Great malls to visit with your family.
Yeah. Well, and I think, yeah, that's a great question. And we, you know, my wife and I, we've always been sort of outdoorsy folks. We like to get outside. And you know, I think another part of it was really is, you know, as we were adopting our son from a different country, and we were kind of thinking about things to welcome him to the United States. You know, one of the things we realized is that When we moved overseas and we wanted to go camping or do things outdoors overseas, it was really hard. And that's simply because there aren't any other countries, for the most part, maybe Canada accepted, that have, you know, such a rich heritage, a natural heritage that has been handed down to them as we do here in the States. Not only our national parks, which are kind of the, you know, the crown jewels of that maybe, but, you know, also just our national forests and national grasslands and their BLM, you know, especially here out west, we just have literally millions of acres of public land that's been handed down to us, you know, from guys like Teddy Roosevelt and Gifford Pinchot or George Bird Grinnell, you know, some of the earliest conservationists. And, you know, that's land that every single one of us owns and we all have equal access to. You know, if you're just a citizen of the U.S., you're literally a huge landowner. You know, I don't think we usually think of it that way, but that is all there for our public enjoyment. And we just thought that was a neat heritage that our new son would be being brought into, you know, as being coming into our family. That was part of the heritage that he would also, you know, inherit as a part of that. And so So I think that idea and just the fact that the national parks are so amazing, you know, the kind of things that you'll see at a Yellowstone that has so much geothermal activity and so much wildlife, just really make it for a really rich experience to expose our kids to and to show that to them. And I think, you know, as homeschoolers too, we're always looking for those kind of out of the box learning experiences. And, you know, there's tons of opportunity for geology lessons and biology lessons and, you know, and conservation lessons. And I think we just saw this as a chance to really spend some time pouring into our family, helping to knit us closer together. And there's really no better backdrop to do that than a fun family vacation to one of these amazing places.
And, you know, the amazing thing is not only are they they're in large chunks of the country. You can go to, and even though Indiana, we're pretty sparse in Indiana. Scott, you are too. But you're closer to some than we are. But they're reasonably priced. They do have not deals, but they, you know, several days out of the year, they have free days. But, you know, what I really like about what you've done, Harley, is that you've made a tool for families, a tool for dads, because we've been to lots of national parks and memorials. And if anybody, any of you have, you've gone to their website and their websites stink. Their websites don't have anything. They're just like these little generic websites. They hardly tell you anything. And you can be overwhelmed by all the you know, different resources out there because they're not always kid friendly. And what I found is like, maybe you've been somewhere, and I know, Scott, maybe you have, and I have as well, where, in fact, we were just talking to someone who went to Disney World, and they went to Disney World, and they went to this one section, and we said, hey, did you see this? And they're like, we never even heard about it, and they missed that part. Or, yeah. You know, we stumbled upon when we were out in Colorado Springs, the Royal Gorge, that nobody had mentioned. We just stumbled upon it, but had someone told us to hit these special places, we could have done that. So Harley, I assume that you saw that need and you filled it. And that's the products that you've kind of produced, which I'd like to talk about now that they can find at nationalparkswithkids.com. Why'd you do what you did?
Yeah, you know, we were facing exactly what you're describing. You know, here we were trying to plan these trips. And when we'd go to the National Parks website, we said, okay, well, this is, you know, kind of your typical government, you know, run website. It's got some useful information, but it's really hard to find the specifics that we felt like we needed to plan a really great vacation, specifically with our kids in mind.
Because basically what they give you is the times and the admission price and how to get here.
Right, exactly. And you're like, okay, well, that's a start, but I'm going to need a little more than that. And so, you know, there's lots of other websites out there that are, you know, promoting various aspects of the national parks. And, you know, the thing is you got to, you know, kind of take those all with a grain of salt, because usually they're trying to sell something. And, you know, and obviously I'm no different. I'm trying to sell something too. But, you know, you've got you just really have to spend tons of time sifting through that information to find stuff that really applies to what you're specifically trying to do. And so what we've tried to do with these books is just take, you know, those countless hours of time spent researching things on the internet. Then we've been able to go and spend a lot of time at the parks, you know, because we, you know, we were between jobs at the time. So we had the freedom to spend more time there. You know, we've spent over, you know, almost close to a month in Yellowstone, and we spent a good 3.5 weeks in the parks of Utah as well. So we were able to kind of validate what we think we learned online by going and actually visiting and doing those activities ourselves, and then giving them an honest appraisal of whether those were suitable for kids or not, or whether the hikes were good for kids and things like that. So we just tried to put all of that information, sort of everything that you would need to go and plan a really great family vacation, into these ebooks. And then we tried to also keep them at a really fair price so that, you know, nobody would have an excuse not to pick them up and you know, have access to that information. You know, the Yellowstone book's about $5, and the one to all the Utah parks is all the parks are combined, and that's only about $7. So, you know, you just think, well, okay, for a price of a Happy Meal or a couple gallons of gas, you know, I can get this you know, what basically is sort of like a research volume, if you will, you know, just tons of data about how to really plan a good vacation. And you know, that was really our goal, was really just to make what seems like maybe a daunting task or sort of an overwhelming job in trying to plan a great vacation, just try to break it down and so it's simple and that anybody could do it and that people could really go out and make just great memories with their families.
So if you were like, you like said Yellowstone and Utah parks, I've never been to either. We've been to a lot of chunk of the country. We've just not been up there. We were so close to Yellowstone. We had planned it, but we had some problems and we couldn't make it on our trip. But if you had like, say, you know, give us a tidbit, you know, like say we were going to go to Yellowstone just for today. Today was our only day we were going to be there. What would you suggest? You know, I mean, like the thing that you'd say, oh, you got to do this.
Sure. And I think, you know, one thing people don't necessarily realize is Yellowstone in particular is really just a huge place. I think if you look at just the square miles of Yellowstone, it's a little bit bigger than Connecticut. And so it's a hard thing to take it all in one day or even 3 days. And so really what you want to do is kind of figure out where, you know, what area of the park are you going to be entering and what park are you going to be leaving? And then find out what attractions or what sort of big features are found on that route or in that region of the park. And, you know, sometimes rather than trying to, you know, I think because we often feel like we have to get it all in, you know, and one thing that we just encourage people is that rather than trying to fit it all in and just spending tons of time in the car driving around from place to place, you know, a visit to a national park, especially a natural wonder, should be, you know, spent out of the car. And so pick one or two things that you really are interested in and get outside and walk around and get some dirt on your shoes and run your fingers through the grass, you know, that type of thing. Because, you know, in today's society, you know, we all have plenty of time in the car, but the chance to go visit a national park is really a chance to get out and be outside and be in nature. And so we would just encourage, you know, in that type of scenario, pick one or two things and just make those one or two things quality experiences rather than feeling rushed, like you're just jumping from one thing to another. You know, and there's lots of sources for that would suggest different itineraries depending on where you are in the park. We've done the same in our book. You know, we've got suggested itineraries for 3, 5, 7, or even more days. Again, we've did that based on research that we found online. So, you know, these types of resources are also available online, and you can sort through them and kind of pick the best out of those. And that's what we've done and put it into the book. But again, I think if, you know, when you think about how much time you have to visit a park, I would just encourage people to do fewer things with a higher degree of sort of experience and quality rather than just try to fit a bunch of things in because you have a sort of a checklist that you want to knock off.
So since you didn't answer my question, are you saying that maybe it's not so much just the thing that I'm going to see, but the doing it with my family that is the thing exactly. that I might miss. You know, I might see some boiling, you know, cauldrons of hot steamy water and then I can post them on Facebook, but I might miss the bigger thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You know, just the real thing is just having those quality experiences with your kids, and there's certainly lots of opportunities. Like, I mean, everybody's familiar with Old Faithful, and I feel like there's a part of us that says, well, if I've been to Yellowstone but I haven't seen Old Faithful, people are going to think I haven't really been there, you know. So that's certainly one that's worth doing. But, you know, our favorite thing in the park is probably Grand Prismatic Spring. It's not that it's a geyser that shoots way up in the air, but it's this large pool that is full of these thermophilic bacteria that create this just rainbow of colors in this crystal clear hot water. And just sort of the colors and the backdrop of that scene are just really breathtaking. You know, but the thing is if you're in the northeast part of the park, you're going to be far from Grand Prismatic and from Old Faithful, but you're going to be in the Lamar Valley, which is one of the like most wildlife rich portions of the park. You're going to see buffalo. You're going to see probably deer and antelope, good chance of seeing some coyotes, just all kinds of stuff. There's also a lot of wolves there, but I'll be honest with you, seeing those guys is pretty tricky. Usually involves, you know, a lot of hiking or having some really good binoculars and stuff like that. You know, even if you're in the northwest corner of the park, there's the Mammoth Hot Springs up there, which is also just sort of an amazing collection of little pools full of all the mineral deposits. You're not going to be disappointed, again, if you just pick any one region of the park and make the time to just sort of enjoy that one region. You're not going to walk away disappointed. And, you know, and if it makes you, if it leaves you feeling like, well, gee, I wish I'd had 3 days or 5 days or a full week to go and experience this park, well, then great. You know, then that'll just give you the motivation to do the planning and to do the saving that you need to make that trip somewhere down the road.
You know, the thing, even as you're speaking, Harley, I'm smiling because I love this. Maybe there's part of a nostalgia that the National Parks offers because, you know, it was the Disney World 50 years ago. There weren't any of those things to go do. That's where families traveled. I met with an old guy every day for every once a week for over 10 years, and he and his family went to lots of them. I met a family, a father and a mom and a son who had visited every single national park in the United States.
Wow.
He had his little junior ranger badge, you know, for every one. But what I think is the coolest, and I think is eternal, is, you know, your children grow up and they remember those special times and you're in it, Dad. You know, you're standing beside them in that picture at Old Faithful or whatever, and they go, oh, yeah, I remember doing that with my dad.
Yes.
And that's powerful stuff. That's eternal stuff. Because not only do they remember that, they remember it ties it to everything else. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, my dad used to like to do this. He used to love this. He used to, you know, and it really is the, you know, not the gum that holds us together, the glue that holds, because I don't mean that. Mm-hmm. But it's magic. It's special stuff. Well, Harley, what do you say to, you know, maybe the guy who's listening and the dad and, you know, he's never done any of this. He wants to do it, but he's never taken that step. What do you say to that, Dad?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question because I think as guys, you know, we never like to feel or appear sort of like, you know, incompetent. You know, we always want to come across as being super capable. And so for a lot of us, you know, this idea of going camping or going on a week-long camping trip or driving all that way to, you know, to do this can seem overwhelming and a little bit intimidating. And so, you know, and we don't want to go out there and feel like we failed. You know, that's allergic to us guys, you know. And so, you know, I just encourage you, A, is just to, you know, kind of borrow the Nike slogan, is just do it, you know. You know, that's one of those things where we have to be courageous and just sort of overcome our fears and say, like, no, I know that the value of this and the benefits of spending this time with my family is worth it, even if it takes me out of my comfort zone. And so I'm just going to commit to doing it. And then, you know, if it still seems daunting, you know, just start small. You know, your first camping trip doesn't have to be a week's, you know, time in Yellowstone. No matter where you live, there's going to be national parks or state parks or forest lands near you where you can go camping. And, you know, go take a weekend. Go spend an overnight. Assess kind of what gear you have and pick a warm time of the year where, you know, if you don't have the best gear, it's not going to matter because the weather's nice, and just go spend a night overnight and just see how it goes and see how much your kids enjoy that and how much they love looking up at the stars or they love the dew on the grass in the morning or hearing the birds singing outside their tent when they woke up in the morning instead of an alarm going off. And just, I think in this day and age too, just get into some place where there's no cell phone coverage or no smartphones or you can't get on FaceTube. You know, I think just getting
I love it.
I learned that one from you and I use it every chance I get. And just get them unplugged and get them outdoors because that's where you can, you know, especially if they're outside their comfort zone, they're going to start looking to you. They're going to want to be nearer to you and start asking for your advice. And I think, you know, those are those types of experiences you were saying that they're going to remember, you know, a year or 5 years or even, you know, even when you're an old man, they're going to remember telling their kids, hey, my dad once took me on these really neat trips and we used to do fun things. And you're going to start a legacy where they're going to want to do the same for their kids. Yeah. And you know, there's not very many things we get to do anymore that are sort of adventurous or sort of out there where our kids, you know, where we can go on an adventure with our kids. And I feel like camping trips in general, and you know, especially big trips to some of these amazing places, are just going to create experiences that they're going to draw on, and that you're going to draw on together as a family for years to come.
Yeah, yeah. And Dad, you know, that what motivates me is that we're running out of time. You know, that those little kids that we have now, or medium age kids, are going to be grown up and gone before we know it. And so, the clock is ticking. Dad, let me encourage you, as we're kind of wrapping this up, let me encourage you maybe to begin by visiting Harley's website at nationalparkswithkids.com, nationalparkswithkids.com, all one word. Harley, thanks for joining us. I'm excited to, I've already started looking through your guides. And like you said, you have guides on Yellowstone and all the parks of Utah. And you have future projects that you're contemplating as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Last summer, we made about two or three trips to Glacier National Park, because that's only about 4.5 hours from us. And we're going to make a couple more trips there this summer and publish that book by the end of the summer. And then we're also starting our kind of research on Yosemite, and we'll be making a trip to Yosemite this summer as well, and hope to be having that book out by early next year. And I guess one other thing, just borrowing from that last thought that you brought up, as far as like what would you say to a, you know, to encourage dads, is that I would just encourage people to say, yeah, jump on our website, but then hit the contact page and send us your questions. You know, I would love for you know, a bunch of guys to get on there and say, you know, I've always wanted to do something like this, but I just don't know how to X, or I'm just not sure what to do about Y. And what we want to do on our on either on that website, or we have another one, R4 Outdoors, is start answering those questions in how-to guides. We've got a couple up now for like rafting and things like that, but that's probably out of the reach of most guys. So we want to start coming up with some how-to guides, just to come up with suggestions of like easy camping trips, or just you know, short adventures that you can start going on to just sort of build your competency and build your you know, confidence in doing this. So I would just encourage guys again to send us questions, because we want to start answering questions that people have to help them overcome their fears and get outside with their kids.
Amen, amen. You know, because someone once said to me, well, you know, but, you know, the gas prices were high, and this gas prices are good now.
Yeah, get out, go.
And they were saying, yeah, but, you know, the kids are this age, you know, and blah, 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 and giving all the reasons why they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And I said, you know, gas didn't get any cheaper, even though it has. You know, your kids aren't getting any younger, and the Grand Canyon's not getting any closer. So you need to do it. So, Dad, you need to do it. You know, your kids, they may say, ah, do we have to? Yes, they have to. And you need to make it happen, because you know why? Because you to Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. And a special thank you to Harley McAllister of R4 Outdoors. That's our, O-U-R, the number 4, outdoors.com. And nationalparkswithkids.com. And Laura Sundin May from the Old Time Wooden Nickel Company. And that's wooden-nickel.com. And go to familymanweb.com and order your wooden nickels that say you to dad on them and have an hour for your kids. Oh my gosh, I'm getting those for my kids and putting them in their Easter baskets. Don't tell them. And don't forget, we want to thank Chris Wagoner and Bayview Appraisals for sponsoring today's show. You can thank him too by texting Chris at 574-268-4906 or visiting him at bayview-appraisals.net. Dads, thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Hold on, I got a kid asking for a Jolly Rancher. It's a little early.